Hi, I'm Deborah Lindad, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It is, what's the date today? The 10th or 11th, I haven't looked at the calendar, of June 2014. And I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, where we're having a lovely summer day. And I have a new mic today, a new microphone, and I love it. But I'm still getting used to it. The old microphone, sometimes yesterday we had a technical difficulty and couldn't do the show at all because my old mic was having a problem, but it's been having problems off and on. So I think this one is going to be better, but I'm still getting used to like how far I need to speak away from it or close to it and all those things, but we'll get used to it. We'll get used to it. Okay. So today we're going to be talking about organic, actually USDA certified organic gourmet personal care products. These personal care products have been around for quite a while. One of the first organic personal care products that there were. I've known about this company and been recommending it for many years. And they've been doing this almost as long as I've been writing about it. And they have their own organic farm. They produce more than 100 of these gourmet products. They've been on television, the Discovery Channel's Dirty Jobs show, sent the host Mike Rowe to help them make a batch of their very popular Pure Earth hair wash, which we're going to be talking about later. It's actually a dirty thing. It's made out of mud, but it gets your hair really clean. So welcome to my guests, Diana Kay and James Hahn from Terra Essentials. Hi, Diana and James.
Hi, Deborah. I've had a little bit of a technical glitch here, and I deeply apologize, but I haven't been able to get, we have a little minor crisis that Jim has had to attend to. He's going to try to join us, but he's not on the line right now, and I'm really, really sorry about that.
It's totally fine. Things happen. This is live radio. Sometimes we don't have guests at all, and sometimes I can't show up like yesterday. I didn't have a microphone. So it's totally fine. We'll start with you.
Sure. No problem.
Okay. So, Diana, tell us, you were one of the pioneers in the organic personal care products. So tell us, how did you get interested in this?
It really goes back to 1989, after I had completed a year before that, completed a radical course of chemotherapy that really, really played havoc with my immune system and caused me to become so reactive to so many things that had been around me all of my life that my partner and I, Jim, were trying to figure out why I had become so reactive. This was not an expected side effect of the chemotherapy.
Yeah.
And our research showed us that, first of all, the cancer that I had, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, has been linked in numerous studies to chemical exposures. So that was quite an eye-opening experience to learn about that. And then to find out that a lot of the chemicals in products that we had been using were considered by our county municipal waste authority as hazardous waste.
Hazardous waste, yeah.
it was quite disturbing. We were trying to clean up our lives. In fact, your books were of great help to us back then and several others. We went through our kitchen, the garage, got a big box of products, put it out for the trash people one morning or one evening. And then the next morning I went out to get the paper and the box was on my doormat, on my welcome mat. It was a note from the trash people saying that this was hazardous waste and had to go to a special hazardous waste facility.
Right.
That was really a scream. And so we learned. We began to question what these ingredients were when we didn't know how to pronounce something. And this was all pre-internet. So
right. I remember those days.
Yeah. So it was books. We lived really close to D.C. in Arlington, Virginia, so we spent a lot of time at the Library of Congress and the university libraries reading textbooks, trying to understand what these ingredients were that we could not pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
And so we learned a lot about chemical processing, chemical manufacturing. We read patents. We read industry textbooks. And it's safe to say that what we found out shocked us. Ingredients that were in and still are in products that are labeled natural are manufactured in industrial chemical facilities using petrochemical reactive agents in factories that are regulated by the EPA because of their air, their water, and ground pollution. And these are ingredients that people call natural.
Yes.
We have kind of a different definition of that.
Yes, you
do. If I can buy seeds for something and plant it in the garden, or it actually is, you know, part of the soil, to me, that's natural.
I completely agree. And I know that when I first started writing about this, so much has changed in the last 30 plus years since I started. But when I first started writing about it, I was looking at, well, here's all these toxic things, and then here's the natural products. And the natural products seemed to be more natural, that a lot of them had ingredients like, they would say, sodium something, laurel something, and then in parentheses it would say coconut oil. And, you know, it took me actually a lot of research and a lot of time to learn that these natural ingredients aren't. And I'm sure that you and I will talk about this more in the course of this show. That these natural ingredients are actually not natural, that they are natural to the degree that instead of being made from petrochemicals, that the original material is a renewable resource like a coconut, for example. But then it goes through the same industrial process. And that's not the same thing as just taking a coconut and, you know, rubbing it on your skin or whatever.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, and so we have this word natural, which kind of makes us think it's okay, but what is considered what is allowed to be within the realm of natural is so different from one end of the spectrum to the other, and we'll talk about that more. But I want to hear more about your story. So you did all this research, like I did. We were both doing it like in the same period of time. In those libraries, looking all those things up. And then what decisions did you make out of that?
Well, it's pretty safe to say that after doing considerable amount of research for 2 years, 3 years, we found that we had fewer and fewer off-the-shelf options for conventional products to use to clean the house, to clean our bodies, to take care of our pets, to take care of our yard and garden. And so we searched the world, by the way. At one point, we were talking to a holistic doctor in Australia to have him actually produce soap for us because we were so disillusioned with what was available here in the States. We talked to some folks in Germany, and we were bringing some of their products over. And it was very expensive, I have to tell you, to bring products from Australia and from Europe. And at the time, I was also involved with numerous support groups, chemical sensitivity groups, a cancer support group, and people that we were talking to who were the people who were like us, who were very persistent researchers and were not willing to accept what was being told to them because, you know, they could read labels and they're looking at these ingredients same as we were. And so we were sharing information that, you know, we were doing research, we were successful in finding some things, and people said, well, share it with us. You know, here we are in a major metropolitan city or area, the Washington, D.C. metro area, and there are all these people who couldn't find products that they felt comfortable using. And we realized that there was a large gap back then. There was an area in the marketplace where that just didn't have the solution. So one thing led to another. We first started producing just a mail order catalog, again, pre-internet. There weren't websites back then. Uh-huh. And so we put had a lot of books in there. One very excellent book, which, of course, we had some of your books. We had several others. We had another book called The Truth About Where You Live, which was published quite a while ago and is still highly relevant. It took every county in the United States and listed all the toxic sources of pollution from underground storage tanks of petroleum.
I think I remember that. We actually need to go to break. I'm so busy listening to you. This is all so interesting. I forgot to look at the clock. So we need to go to break, but we'll be right back. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and I'm talking with Diana Kay, and later we'll have her husband James Hahn on as well. From Terra Essentials, that's terraessentials.com. We're talking about personal care products, all the toxic stuff in them, and what Diana and Jim are doing to give us safer products. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Diana Kay and her husband, James Hahn, who will be on shortly after he handles his emergency. And they have a business of USDA certified organic gourmet personal care products called Terra Essentials, and that's at terraessentials.com. So Diana, you know, I would just like to say something that before we go on with what you have to say, I want to say something that came up this morning in an email that somebody sent to me, and it was an article about people with MCS, multiple chemical sensitivities, and it had a lot of photos of people living in dire straits who had this, have this condition. And it was describing the illness in a way that I had never really noticed this before, what I'm about to say, but it describes the illness in a way like even the name, when I first heard about this and went through this myself, it was called environmental illness. Like, it's an illness about the environment. And now it's called multiple chemical sensitivities, MCS. And that states that the person who is being affected, that they are somehow sensitive to these chemicals. They're just sensitive to chemicals. There must be something wrong with them. But in fact, what's happening is that people who are suffering from this are being poisoned. And they're not, it's not being acknowledged as a poisoning, because even the name is, well, here's this group of people who are extraordinarily sensitive to otherwise not dangerous things. And that's the way it's presented. And that's even the way it's presented by people with MCS who write these articles. And I would like people to understand that that multiple chemical sensitivity, it's like it's difficult to get this accepted as an illness because people keep looking at the people who are being affected and saying, well, this doesn't make sense as an illness. Well, it makes sense as a poisoning. And it's not just MCS. It's MCS is just a little tiny corner of this great big picture of all these illnesses that are now associated with toxic chemicals, cancer, diabetes, infertility, heart problems. I say this a lot, but I'm going to say it again because it needs to be said over and over and over. When I was researching my most recent book, Toxic Free, I went and looked at the literature again, and I had as my hypothesis that toxic chemicals were affecting every single part of your body, that they could be at the root of every single illness, any symptom. And I found the science to back that up. That there are now, you can go online, you could look up any illness that you may be having. And even down to things that we can't even perceive, like changes in our DNA. And toxic chemicals in consumer products we are using every day are affecting every single one of those things. And yet, people don't look at it as a poisoning. There, I'll get off my soapbox now.
We've been doing the exact same research for the past 20-some years.
Yes.
I've reached the same exact conclusion, and I, too, have the data to back it up. You know, my concern, I'm going to add another illness in there, or category of illnesses, are neurological disorders.
Absolutely.
And it's really troubling to me because neurological disorders aren't just the really obvious things like a Parkinson's disease, which has been attributed to pesticide use, but also things like migraines, developmental disorders, including autism, aggressiveness, violent behavior, apathy, lethargy, And then you did mention metabolic disorder, diabetes, but, you know, let's take it a step further. Neurological disorders that are involve the hypothalamus, which regulates the body's ability to feel hunger or to feel satisfied.
Yes.
The list goes on and on and on. And we have always had these concerns because in toxicology, the previous models for exposure used to be, and this was, again, when I started 25 years ago or so, that ingestion was your number one source of toxic exposure. But in the past 10 years, that's been rearranged. It used to be an ingestion, inhalation, skin absorption, and now it's inhalation, skin absorption second, ingestion third.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm concerned because in our business over the years with having the catalog, the website, and two retail shops, that we meet a lot of people, and I've spoken firsthand, face-to-face to people who think, well, oh, I buy organic food sometimes, so I'm okay. And then I asked them, well, do you drink the water? I'm concerned about our waterways. I think that probably that's our mission here at Terra Essentials is to raise awareness about the chemicals that people buy that are manufactured in industrial chemical factories that pollute our water. And then this is something people have a hard time getting their heads around, but the fact that, and we're part of the Chesapeake Bay watershed here.
Yes.
In Maryland, and there are about 14 million people based on the previous census that live in the watershed area. And the bay has been so unclean, so unhealthy for so many years that Congress actually mandated a federal cleanup policy, which Maryland, Virginia, and all the watershed states failed. And it worries me now that, you know, it seems like the public exposure here, the public's exposure here to what the root causes are of the problems in the bay, are always being tacked back to a couple of farmers. Now, granted, there is runoff, but that's really not the biggest problem. You know, I'm going to go back years back to a very excellent researcher at the EPA, a scientist named Christian Doughton, who more than 25 years ago began researching what was in our waterways, and he published several reports, real articles, scientific articles about his concerns. And one of the most astounding quotes, and I'm going to kind of do this to the best of my recollection here, that he stated in one of his articles was his concern that neurological changes were occurring in the population, but they were going to occur so slowly over time that these neurological changes would be accepted as normal.
We need to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about that some more. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Diana Kay. And coming up, hopefully her husband, James Hahn, will be joining us. They have a business called Terra Essentials, which has USDA-certified organic gourmet personal care products. TerraEssentials.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Diana Kay, and maybe her husband might be joining us. She's from Terra Essentials, and they make USDA-certified organic gourmet personal care products. Diana, say now again what you said right before the break.
In terms of the our concern about the pharmaceuticals and personal care product ingredients in the water and the EPA scientist?
Yeah, what he said. Quote him again.
Yes, I actually pulled up his article, which is highly readable. There's an abstract. If people can find it online. And the title of this special report, okay, was published December 1999. This is how long issue has been known. And this was the report. So the research had been going on for years prior to this. The title is Pharmaceuticals and Personal Care Products in the Environment, Agents of Subtle Change. The first author listed is Christian Doughton, who I've spoken to in the past, and he had a co-author, Thomas A. Ternus. And again, this is a long article, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but generally what he's saying here is that there are so many chemicals in our waterways, and many of them cause neurological problems, and that we are already seeing these changes in humans. And his concern was that, and this is, again, I'm going to paraphrase what he said as a quote in the report, that his concern was that these neurological changes have been happening in humans slowly over time, and they've been happening so slowly, which is why he calls them agents of subtle change, that populations, society is considering these or beginning to accept neurological changes as normal.
Yes.
And that worries me. You know, we've been seeing a rise, and I don't believe it's just in better detection of autism spectral disorders. You know, it's frightening to me that I keep reading about these aggressive incidents, and I'm sure that some of that has to do with, you know, the internet and more widespread reporting, but it just seems like more and more this is happening in children. You know, we see people who, and again, a neurological change is apathy,
yes,
lethargy.
It is.
And, you know, you mentioned earlier your concern about people labeling MCS as, you know, multiple chemical sensitivities, thereby trying to say that, oh, it's, you know, it's a victim, and this is just a person that's extremely sensitive. But I agree with you. This is a concern that we have about chemicals poisoning people. And this is why, because, again, going back to toxicology issues and sources of chemical exposure, you know, we would think that it's going to be nearly impossible to regulate and to, and what I mean by regulate is to filter the air that you breathe every single day unless you live in a bubble. But, you know, the EPA has said in years past that you can control what you bring into your home, which is a source of chemical emissions, whether it be furniture, a personal care product, a household product. These, and I think, Deborah, you and I are both aware of this, and maybe the public isn't so much, of volatile organic compounds. And we don't
right.
mean organic in the good sense of the word. We're
no,
talking about
no.
organic chemistry here. That, and this is a worry that I have with people who do, again, and you mentioned writers who say they're chemically sensitive. It seems like their whole focus is on fragrance rather than, you know, all of the other many chemicals, some of which can cause bigger problems. Long-term problems because of their buildup in the body, whereas with fragrance, a lot of times, it does cause problems, I totally agree, and those are often immediate reactions. And I acknowledge
right.
that, however,
go ahead.
You know, we're concerned about the long-term effects, and I'm
yes.
not talking even 20 years, maybe just a year or so, of absorbing these chemicals into your body every day.
And having them build up.
Right, right. And
yes.
and causing, you know, all this interference with all of the systems in your body and a breakdown.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So disease occurs, or shall we say poisoning. And I think one of the big issues that I like to paint a picture for the public to try to understand this. You, for example, you'll buy a bottle of body lotion. Oh, a nice big bottle. And you know, you got it at your friendly health food store. Or wherever, and it's labeled natural, might even be labeled organic, and that's a whole other topic.
Yes.
But this product has a host of ingredients that the normal person could not pronounce. And yet a lot of people accept that, and I wonder if that's part of the neurological agent of subtle change, apathy or lethargy, not investigating, you know, what you're actually putting into your body. But here's the picture. You have this bottle of body lotion, big bottle. You got the 12-ounce size or 16-ounce because it was at a really great reduced price. And you put that body lotion on, and, wow, it absorbs quickly. You like that. And yet, when the bottle of body lotion is empty, where did all of the lotion go?
In your body.
Hello. Yeah. People just never make this connection. And, you know, then we try to draw the next picture, which is, you know, you're buying a bottle that says it's all natural and it's foamy and bubbly and it's got three or four different detergents and foam boosters in it, but it's all natural. And you take that home and you use it in your shower and you bubble and scrub and foam up and rinse and rinse and rinse. And where does it all go? It ends up in our waterways.
Yes.
People don't understand water treatment facilities. They've never researched them, so they don't understand that water treatment really is a series of screens, seriously, steel screens, metal screens that filter sediment, i.e. sewage sludge, a.k.a. sewage sludge. And then what passes through is the water with all the chemicals that you used in your house, in your garage. Anything that could go down the drain in your house ends up in the water. And then what water treatment is still in the vast majority of communities in this country is adding chemicals to the water to precipitate out or cause flocculation of some chemicals, and then also adding in chloramine as a disinfectant to kill the bacteria from the nasty poopy stuff that's in the water.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the recycled water that everyone gets. And it's also sometimes drawn from community rivers. I know in our community some of our water is drawn from the Potomac River, not mine. We're on a well up here. But we're concerned about that, and that is why we're trying to explain to people that there is a big difference between natural and organic. And in addition, just one more thing to add, many of these chemicals, petrochemicals, that is, that have toxic issues are what's called lipophilic. Lipo meaning fat. Philic is attractive. So in other words, these are chemicals that are actually attracted to fat molecules.
Mm-hmm.
So once they penetrate your skin, many of them migrate to the fat because of their affinity for fat. And they're stored there. They don't
escape
the body.
And we need to go to break again.
Uh-oh.
It goes by really fast, huh?
It does.
My guest today is Diana Kay. She's from Terra Essentials, and they make USDA certified organic gourmet personal care products. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we'll be right back and talk about this subject more. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Diana Kay from Terra Essentials. And Diana, before we go on, I just want to point out, we just had a commercial about a water filter that will remove pharmaceuticals and all those toxic chemicals that we've been talking about in your waterways. And the reason that I really make a big deal about this water filter is because of all the things that you were saying that get into our water and those toxic chemicals that don't, that are not removed. I just want to say this again about this whole cycle of consumers using the toxic chemicals in their homes. They go down the drain. They go down in the waterways. They do not get removed by the water treatment company. And all those toxic chemicals that we're using and polluting the indoor air come back to us in our tap water. So everybody, I just think a water filter is needed in every home, absolutely every home. And earlier you were talking about how the EPA says that we do have control over what we bring into our homes. Well, we do, but that as soon as we walk out our doors, we're still being exposed to all those toxic chemicals. So it really is, we're living in a world that's dangerous right now. And we can, it's dangerous to our health. And we can see that in the statistics of increased, even in my lifetime, the incidence of disease. It has increased, and the ages of children are getting lower and lower, where they're getting diseases now and conditions that only adults used to get, and the numbers are higher. And that's just happened in my lifetime. So yes, we need to do everything that we can do to reduce the amount of toxic chemicals we use in our home. And that makes a significant difference. And we can greatly improve our health by doing that, and also by removing toxic residues from our bodies. But when we go out the door, we still are being exposed to toxic chemicals from car exhaust in other people's buildings, in public buildings, in restaurants, in all these places out in the world. They're still there. And we need to be keeping that in mind and looking at how are we going to create together, how are we going to create a world where you don't have to be concerned about toxic chemicals because they're just not there.
That's a lovely dream to hold on to.
It's my goal. It's my goal.
I know. Mine
recognizing,
too.
Recognizing that that's not where we are now, but recognizing that if we all work together, it's something that could be achieved.
Absolutely. And that's why we spend, and I'm sure, Deborah, you do the same thing with so much education. we've invested so much in researching, writing articles, doing community talks, talking to people, even one-on-one, doing whatever we can to raise awareness about, you know, I think we need to get people, this is my feeling about this, to get them to understand where things come from, that they just don't magically appear on a shelf, that there's a process that's involved. And unfortunately, with food and body care products, especially body care products, the processing itself can result in so many harmful chemicals that hurt our air and our water. And I have great concern. I'm an animal lover. You know, forget the animal testing in the lab. That's being covered. But I have always been concerned about the wildlife that has to swim in the water, live in the water, drink the water that we have so polluted. So we've been trying to just get people to, hello, it's, first of all, read your label. Read your label. Natural isn't good enough. If you're talking about a product, for instance, a little baby butt balm, and it says all natural, but it's not organic, it consists of oils, fats, and maybe beeswax, none of which are organic. This is the product where the toxic chemicals that were sprayed on those plants, which are many, they're lipophilic, they're attracted to the fat, they're going to concentrate in those oils. If the beeswax is not organic and it comes from a conventional agricultural area where chemicals are sprayed, again, because it's a fatty substance, these chemicals are going to concentrate in that natural beeswax. So, you know, the next step is organic and legitimate organic. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of enforcement in that area, and there are a lot of products that are labeled natural, which really is meaningless, unfortunately, and even organic now that are not certified, that contain a host of different chemicals and non-organic ingredients. And that's a first step that people can do to protect themselves because, again, referring back to the toxicological models of chemical exposure, we have to be concerned about inhalation, number one, breathing, and number two, skin absorption. I mean, if you think about it, people bathe, they take a shower, some people twice a day, people who work out. You wash your hands, hopefully, you know, 8 to 10 times a day. And the curious thing is when our skin is wet, it becomes 5 times more absorptive than when it's dry. So, you know.
I didn't know that. Oh, I'm so glad that you said that. I mean, when you're, this makes a huge difference because even all the things that get put in beauty kind of soaps, you know, all the colorants and the fragrances and all those additives and everything, and then you wash your hands or you put it on in the shower, you're just putting all those chemicals in your body and it, and your skin is all open and absorbing those more than even if you were not taking a shower. Wow. Yeah. So Diana, you know, I hope you'll come back again because there's so much that we can talk about, but we only have about 5 minutes left of this show. And I want to make sure that we talk about your products. So tell us about, tell us about Terra Essentials and what you're doing that is so different from what we've been talking about.
Sure. Happy to. First, I'd like to say that with my experience in researching, I don't feel comfortable with processed ingredients. You know, I've been through the ringer. Having had cancer at a very young age, having developed, you know, extreme sensitivities, in quotes, or shall we say awareness of my reactions to the chemical poisonings, I feel comfortable with
like
things.
That, my awareness of my reaction to the chemical poisoning. Thank you.
Well, it's what it is, right?
It is right? What that's, it is. It is.
You know, and that's, and I try to get through to people about that. Just understand that once you, you know, you inhale that chemical and you realize that your olfactory nerve endings are being burned, that's what's causing you the pain in your head through the top of your nasal cavity. You know, this is a physical pain that we're being exposed to. And so, you know, I'm trying to get people like you are to understand that this is a poisoning. So for me, when I bathe, when I moisturize my my skin, which is rapidly changing as I age, I want to make sure that what I'm rubbing into my body, I would feel comfortable eating. And I've actually done that. I have, to prove my point, on several occasions, I've actually eaten our products. I've had a little cordial glass of lotion, which I have drunk. I ate some of our body creams in Washington, D.C. at the National Organic Standards Board's meetings and on television for ABC, because the point is, if you're rubbing it onto your skin, you are ingesting it.
You are.
It's not everything is through your mouth. So we've created over the years, and I love to call them gourmet because they smell delicious. We have body oils and creams where every single ingredient is organic. Many of them are the same ingredients that are used in food products. Organic orange oil, lemon oil, peppermint oil, organic vanilla oil, coconut oil, cocoa butter, sunflower oil, things that are really wholesome and healthy and were grown organically with certification. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we go through a certification process. So we have to document everything that goes into our products. We have to document what we buy against what we say that we sell. So we have to account for every drop of organic material. We do have an inspection. It is a lot of work, a tremendous amount of effort and time and expense to document this year-round. And I'm happy to do it. It is a big headache, but this is what separates us. This is how I can tell people, this is what we're doing versus what everybody else says that they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, we're authentic, and it's my life. I live, I breathe organically. I try to teach people about edible landscaping to bring it all home. You know, to get people to understand where things come from. And in our case, we are a small artisan producer. I often like to give people the idea that we're almost like a gourmet bakery. You know, we make things in small batches fresh, and we ship things directly to our customers and to a handful of stores so that, you know, they know when they're getting a product. And when you open one of our products, you can smell the difference. It's in your face. I mean, these are fresh, real ingredients. There's nothing weird or synthetic about them, and they smell delightful, delicious, and lovely. And they feel good. And do they work?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, our clay hair wash is so amazing. It's this gift from Mother Earth that absorbs dirt and oil from your hair. It doesn't strip it, and it binds this excess oil and dirt into itself and then carries it down the drain. And when it goes into the water, it's dirt. And it's amazing to me that this is something that just comes right out of our planet.
Right, right.
That doesn't, you know, require any processing other than just grinding the rocks of the clay into a powder to make it easy to use.
Okay, I need to stop you right there because in about 10 seconds, the music's going to come on and we're going to be at the end of the show. So I need to just thank you so much and say where people can go to your website, terraessentials.com, and we'll continue this conversation on another show. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and you can find out more at toxicfreetalkradio.com. Be well.